Well, you go like this, and when a man in the back, he went, pulls up a can calendar. Do you realize what you're saying?
Yeah.
What did you say? Is your favorite hymn? What was it? 397? We can meditate on that one. We can talk about that one, in fact. Galatians. While you're turning to Galatians, let me just bring you up to speed on what you have prayed for. If God urged you to pray for us, my wife and I have been separated for months. They were to get her to come back today. I was invited to be on the Logos Hope ship, OM ship, for months in February. And so my wife's knee does not permit her to go up 15 stairs every time she's going anyplace. So there were 9 decks on the Logos Hope. And you've got to go up 15 stairs to go to lunch, then you've got to come down 15. And then you do that 3 times a day. That's, what is that, 100 almost? That doesn't include going to the office, and that doesn't include going out on the deck. And so she said she was going to stay by the stuff since we have so much stuff. So she stayed by the stuff and ministered to others who were in need. And so we're grateful for that. I was on board in Barbados, joining a ship in Barbados, and had the joy of speaking in 5 different assemblies in Barbados, near Bridgetown. They heard I was on board and invited me to come. They have about 11 assemblies on Barbados. And they have the first week in February, they have a joint prayer meeting in 5 different of the chapels or halls or whatever they're called. And they pray for the assemblies, they pray for the country, and pray for the world. And so they asked me if I would come and give a study on prayer at each of those 5 assemblies. And so we're grateful to have had that opportunity of ministry with them. Particularly that when I began speaking, they said amen. I mean, again and again. And a couple of people said hallelujah. And I said, can I carry you back with me to America? And you could just, infiltrate the assembly without speaking, and you could just raise the amens, you know, from the people there. But they said, I couldn't afford to bring them all here to sit among you, but what a delight they were, and what an enjoyment they had of the word and the truth. They asked me to come back and spend more time. Don't know that I will, but they love the Lord and they love the Lord's people. And it was just a special delight to encourage them in their prayers. They do have huge issues. Crime is greatly increasing in Barbados. The ship was there for 10 days or so, and I think they were encouraged by those who came to minister and coming on the ship and finding good books. Then we had a 5-day sail from Barbados to Jamaica, to Montego Bay. And again, somebody had contacted them that I was on board, and so they asked me if I would speak in one of the assemblies. What does that word mean? Oh, yeah, we covered that last hour. It's interesting, brothers. No matter where we have gone, there is a phrase that is seems to be on the tip of the tongue of many of the Lord's people. And I hear it. We've been to so many countries, 85 countries, and almost all of those countries you hear these same words. And the more I hear it, it exercises me, because the words are in the Lord's own appointed way. And everybody thinks they're doing it in the Lord's own appointed way. But the difference between the way in which it is done in so many different countries around the world, that we would say, which one is truly the Lord's own appointed way? But I'm glad, and I am committed to local churches that seek to be compliant with the Lord's appointed way. And so that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm still here. We have a long history of fellowship in the assemblies. I came into the assembly when I was about 12 or 13. And on my wife's side, our family, our grandchildren are the seventh generation in the assemblies. First of all, in England, where Jenny's great-grandmother was headed out to an Easter sunrise, Easter service with a new Easter bonnet, and it was raining. And she was on her way to the established church in England, and she didn't want her bonnet to get wet, and so she passed a storefront, and they were singing. She slipped in to keep her bonnet dry, and it was so enjoyable and so encouraging to her. She said, "I'm going there from now on." And her children and his mom and Jenny, our sons and our grandchildren. So we're grateful to the Lord for the commitment of the Lord's own appointed way. Even though it varies, the devotion to the Lord is amazing. I don't always have that opportunity when I'm on the ship, because sometimes they assign me to a New Testament church. It wasn't the Lord's own appointed way. And they had an hour and a half of what I call hoopla. And then we had the message from the Word of God, and then they had the Lord's Supper. So it's interesting, delightful. We are grateful to the Lord for the opportunity of ministry on board. And there are 400 young people. Jenny and I have been on the Logos 2 and the Doulos a dozen times, I guess, but this ship has 400 people. From 60 countries, and the culture, the climate, the administration is somewhat different than the New Laws and the Logos 2, but it is exciting to be as old as I can be excited. It's exciting to be as old as I am and have 400 young people. It's just as amazing to think of. They don't do all the things that you would want or I would want, but I like the way they do it better than the way I don't do it. I appreciate what they do. And I've known George Brewer, Dale Roton, and the OA ministry since 1957. I was the oldest one on board with 400 young people. Just amazing. We continue to thank the Lord for our daily devotional blessings online with 10,000 beside. If you don't have one, you need one on your coffee table. It looks good. But we're grateful to the Lord for its continuing printing and use. Almost every day we get a comment from somebody. There's about 40,000 in print in Spanish and English, and they're working on it in Italian. And I can't remember where else, but 7 Indian languages. They finished Bengali, and it's now available for them. And that end, for Monday, we want people to enjoy and appreciate it. Once a young person sat down with me on the ship, and they said, "What is your calling? What is it the Lord's called you to do?" And I said, "Well," I said, "the book best describes it." I was able to give away about 25 of them on board to young people that are wanting to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'd appreciate your continued prayer for their OM is waiting, OM India is waiting for another language in India that we would be willing to supplement or underwrite so that it could be printed and distributed in another Indian language. And so we're grateful for that. We're also aware that since we were here, Gospel Folio Press has accepted a manuscript on spiritual conflict that Gospel Folio Press will be, have agreed to print and to distribute. So you may see that sometime in one of their advertisements. It's a summary of the conflict that we have with the world, the devil and the flesh. It's called Faith is the Victory. And India is also going to print it and distribute it in other than North America, I guess, something like that. So I appreciate it. I'm not interested in any, it's not my, doesn't supplement or support my ministry. I just want to get it into the hands of the Lord's people, because there is so much misunderstanding about spiritual conflict. Everything that is wrong, the devil is blamed about it. And the devil is not responsible for everything that happens. He's responsible for a lot. But the devil is a defeated foe. And not only that, but we have scripture that says the world is also defeated. But we don't have a scripture that says that the flesh is fully, finally, and completely defeated. And when I say that, it tells us that this enemy is much more potent than the devil or the world. So we appreciate your prayers for that. Continuing ministry, my wife and I will be in Nassau, the Bahamas, for a month of ministry next month. We call that our prison ministry because we're in prison. Because the chapel is in a part of Nassau that is very dangerous. And the little apartment above the Sunday school building has three doors, and there are eight locks on those three doors. And they say, don't go out, don't go walking, don't go any place, don't do this, don't do that, don't go to that beach, don't go to this beach. And so we call it our prison ministry. We are thinking, don't tell them that. But that is our prison ministry. But we're grateful for the opportunity. All the meetings of the assembly will be my responsibility. And so we're grateful for that. And then you can also pray about the time in Singapore. I'll be in Singapore for a month in June, I think it is. But they are wondering about the virus. And so they said to me recently, when you make your bookings to fly to Singapore, make sure it's refundable. So they're going to make a decision on the month, on the 8th of April, whether or not there's an assembly of about 900 in fellowship in Singapore. They have, are now meeting in two different places, but it's under one umbrella. And so they have this family Bible camp. I was speaking to them 3 or 4 years ago. So they asked if I'd come back, and those that are going go to Malaysia on a bus and train and car and boat. I don't know how they get there, but they rent a resort, the whole resort, and we have a week together in the Word. That's really thrilling to be able to do that. But this virus is not a hoopla, I think. And you know, I mean, 100,000 people are affected, and 2,000. There are more people that die through the flu every year than what are dying from this. So, you know, I'm ready to go, told somebody. So, Galatians, what did I say? Did I say Galatians? Yeah, let's go to Galatians. Chapter 1, verses 15. I've got another introduction. What time is this? 4:15?
Yeah.
But when it pleased God, what does that mean? It means that God has a program. God has a reason. A reason. If I were to ask you, what's his reason for saving us? What would you say? When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen of the Gentiles. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I'm stopping there, even though that's a, I was going to say a hyphen. That's not a hyphen. What is it? Colon, that's right. Let's give thanks. Father, we read your word from Genesis to Revelation, and we learn more than perhaps any other thing that you superintend the affairs of your creatures. The lion suffers hunger and is thirsty, but the righteous shall not be hungry. The birds fall to the ground, and you know about them. There's so many indications from your word that nothing happens if you cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, but you cause it to fall. You bring the desert and drought and floods, earthquakes and lightning, so many things in your creation. How much more in your creatures? We thank you that you could detail the lives of godly men, godly women, and above all your Son. That though he was a perfect Son and you are a perfect Father, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We thank you for orchestrating the life of Job through those difficult days of pain and sorrow and loss and suffering, in order that he might learn your greatness. We think of many who needed to know your grace. Paul could say that your grace is sufficient, that he acknowledged in his weakness. Father, we want to learn the same lessons, but it's often painful. So we thank you for your superintendence of our lives. And we look at Paul as he gave us an initial expression of why you came to him, and that we need to learn the same lesson this morning. Thank you for ministering to us out of your abundance, the abundance of your grace, the abundance of your goodness, the abundance of your glory. All of these are a reminder of your personal interest in our lives. We're encouraged by that. We're strengthened. We bow in worship and adoration and awe and reverence. We confess we do not always take the path we're supposed to take, that though you superintend our lives, you give us many, many choices, and we don't always choose the right. And so we bring our confessions and say, Lord, yes, we are a sheep going astray. We want to return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Thank you for meeting with us, blessing us as you said you would do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What is the purpose of our salvation? And I think there are five texts. We're only going to look at one of them. But I think there's five texts in the book of Galatians that is helpful for us as we try to understand, why did he save me? There are those people, if you were to ask a common believer in the normal local church, why did God save you? And most would say, to get out of hell and get into heaven. And my answer is, well, if that's the case, why didn't he take you? He would have saved himself a lot of trouble, at least for me, I don't know about you. But if he had raptured me the moment I got saved, they would have saved a lot of people for walking. You only have to ask a few people. That cousin guy. You know. So that's not the reason, because we're still here. We are not primarily saved to go to heaven. In fact, the Bible doesn't even say that. I know you could be leaping through your Bible to prove me wrong. But it's not true. It doesn't say that. So shall we ever be in heaven? Well, he said, no man. He went in and said, amen. Why didn't he say, no man? So shall we ever be with the Lord? And three verses tell us that you're not going someplace. You're going to be with somebody. But so many people, you know, they look at their shack down here. I can't wait to leave my shack down here so I can go to my mansion up there. And they're more concerned about the golden streets than they are with being with Christ. And so we sing face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, you'll say amen then. You may even say hallelujah then when you see Him face to face. So yes, we are. Don't get upset with me. I believe I'm going to land up in heaven. But the Bible doesn't say that's where we're going. It says we're going to be with Christ. That where I am, there you may be also. There where? Wherever He is. So it's more important that we want to be with Christ than that we'll walk streets of gold. And so the emphasis is from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit to prepare us to be with Christ. Oh, if it was rapture, we said yes, we would be celebrating the Lord's Supper instead of having a funeral, because He's alive and I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Those people down in Barbados, they would have finished that verse with joy. So what's the purpose? It's wrapped up in two words. Five times in the book of Galatians. And those two words are in diametric opposition to what really concerns us, even as believers. I don't know, you're trying to find it in that verse, aren't you? Did you find it? Anybody find it? The two words? I mean, you're looking down, so they might as well ask you. In me. Do you see it? To reveal His Son in me. You see, we face a problem in the Christian life. And this song, "Come All Christians Be," what? Committed. What are we committed to in the Christian life? And this hand, you didn't write it, did you? Oh, okay, good. But it tells us to turn away from sin and sadness. That's do. Be is the next line. Be transformed with life anew. The difference is between doing and being. And the text that we have here in Galatians tells us it's more important to be than it is to do. So we ask ourselves, what are we committed to? And the hymn, I've never seen the hymn before, so I can't. Who is it? Who is she? Eva Lloyd. And so it does, in this hymn, it sort of tells you, this is what you must do, this is what you must do, this is what you must do, this is what you must do. And then he says, be transformed by life. You're not transformed by imitation. You might be different, but you're not transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the antagonist in this issue of the Christian life is, what do I do and what do I be? I guess that's probably not good English. But I didn't do very good in English either. Sorry, teacher. And so Paul is saying, and why is it so significant in the book of Galatians? Because the book of Galatians deals with doing more than being. Because it has to do with the law. Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the law, you're now made perfect. Begun in the faith, and now you're made perfect by the law. So I ask you, how many commandments are there in the Mosaic law? Thank you, I appreciate that. 613, in case you didn't know. So, we are free from the law, but we're not lawless. We are under grace, but are we under law? Can you be under law and under grace at the same time? The answer is, we have a division. Then we don't have anybody. Can you be under the law and under grace at the same time? The answer is, yes. But not under the law of Moses. You can be under the law of love. You can be under the law of Christ. You can be under the law of Christ's life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter, 8? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the 613 commandments in the Old Testament under the Mosaic, how many commandments are there in? Well, I told you, in Galatians there's 36 by one count. So how many commands are there in the New Testament? You see, if you take the law of love, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ, there are 713 commands in the New Testament. Now, some of them are just read so-and-so and Joe Blow and whoever else you're supposed to read. And those guys are not around anymore, so you're not going to greet them anyway. But greet one another with a holy kiss that we noted this morning. That's a command. Wash each other's feet. That's a command. I think we talked about that a few years ago. But you don't do that at this church. Why? Well, culture. But you do it with the water of the Word of God. I came in with dirty feet. I suppose what we studied in the last hour, wash off a few of those things, right? That is the washing of water by the Word. And we are afflicted and we're dirty by our contact with the world, and when we come under the washing power of the Word of God, we are like the Levites that came into the tabernacle, and on the other side of the altar, burnt offering was the labor. For what? To wash the dust off of the feet as they wandered around the tabernacle that came and went. And so we do the same thing. So what are the commands? Many of them are very, very profound. Believe me! The Lord Jesus says several times. So we look at what we do in order to obtain, or we are what we are, because we've obtained. You see the difference? That's the difference found couched in these few verses in Galatians. Because he says to us, he says to reveal his Son in me, on me, although that should happen. Smile. It might tell people that you belong to the Lord, or you're having an enjoyable time with somebody that you're fellowshipping on. It's so hard to get a smile out of people. You know, that t-shirt that says smile, people wonder what you're thinking. That's right. So it ought to show up to our face. If it's in our heart, tell your face that there's a reason to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, in who? In Christ. In the Lord. And so as we look at this, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that he has been called and commissioned and challenged and equipped in order that the person of Christ would be formed in him. That's why imitation doesn't work. Because imitation is forming something from without. Romans chapter 12 explains that to us. Be not conformed to this world. That's the pressure of our society. You turn on your radio, your television, you look at the newspaper or magazine, no matter where you look, The world is saying, you've got to have ours. You've got to drink our drink and eat our eat and you've got to drive our drive and all those things. You've got to do it. And they tell you, you've got to have these things. That is pressure from without. We see it also in Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ finishes his sermon on the mount by an illustration. We used to sing it, you remember? The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand and so forth. And the rain came down and the floods came up and the wind blew. The what? The rain came down. Floods came up. The winds blew. What is that triad? Both houses. Three different aspects of the storm. We face, here we have three enemies. I did a seminar on the ship about the three enemies that we face. The world, the devil, and the flesh. And you have it right there. In that concluding illustration from the Lord's sermon. The rain came down. Who that? The prince of the power of the air. That's somebody above us. The rain came down. If you were a good Catholic, you would say that the weather is in the hands of the fallen angels. You might think so sometimes. But it's not. Because the Lord causes the rain to fall. But it is his domain. He's a defeated enemy, okay? But it's still, he is the prince of the power of the air. Rain came down, and the what? Floods came up. Quiet. Slow. Almost secretly. That's the flesh within. Right here. Someplace here. We all have the flesh. And then the winds blew. You see the wind blowing. And what does the wind suggest to us? Being conformed by the world. So even in that, just that one little illustration, you have the world, you have the devil, and you have the flesh. And the world presses us into its mold. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you're going to have the influence of the world. What does he say? In 1 John, what does John say? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Does it ever escape your lip? I love my new. I love this. I love that. I mean, McDonald's says I love hamburgers. I mean, how sad is that? That you love hamburger. I don't love McDonald's hamburger. You can love the whole one. We're glad for a hamburger. We're glad. We use the world. But the world doesn't use us. And so when we have this outward expression of containment and compression, that's not the way we become like Christ. What is amazing is what he says. He said, please God. What pleases God? That I'm going to heaven? Yes. And that I'm going to see him face to face? Yes. But what pleases God the most is that I'm like Christ. Nothing pleases him more, in spite of what John Piper says. John Piper says that God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied with him. That's not true, I'm sorry. God is most pleased with me when I'm most like Christ. God is not most glorified in me when I am pleased with him. It has nothing to do with my being satisfied with him. Oh, I want to be satisfied with him. Satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus. We sing that song. What a wonderful hymn. But God is most glorified in me when I am most like Christ. And that's what Galatians chapter 1 says. It pleased the Lord. What pleased the Lord? He saved me. He redeemed me. He reconciled me. He forgave me. He made me his family. And 100 other things. So so that I might please Him. And the more I am like Christ, the more that's pleasing to Him. So Paul is saying in this text, he is saying that it's not what you do, which is the outward pressure of the world. There are over 700 definable plans of world evangelism. And all of them have failed. Why? You'll forgive me, but I was speaking to a Baptist church, a group of 40 men, trying to help them understand that evangelism isn't the most important, the primary. Oh, no, they never heard that before. What's the purpose of the assembly? There are three of them. Worship, fellowship, and evangelism in that order. What does God get from His church? He gets worship. That's what He wants. The Father seeks such to worship Him. Fellowship is what you get from the church. That's what we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians 5. Fellowship. And what does the world get from the church? The good news. But the good news is not the first reason. And as you read through the scriptures, you'll find that as we are, as the Lord Jesus Christ was going along, as He was going, as we learned this morning, He met the woman at the well. As He was going, He met a funeral and changed it into a festival. As He was going, and the same thing is true with us. The goal of God for us is that we might be like Him, to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. How do we do it? If you do it by imitation, who gets the glory? I do. I used to monkey with that when I was in school. We had a teacher that, you know. Okay. Anyway, we had a teacher, and she had a few quirks, characteristics, you know, sort of idiosyncrasies, that big word. So while she was writing on the board, I could sit in my front row seat because she didn't want to be there, keep her eye on me. And I could, you know, do one of her little quirks. And of course the class would laugh, and I would sit down and she'd wonder what happened. It's a miracle that I'm here, isn't it? I know, it's because you pray for me. Who got the glory? Not when we get out of the class. She didn't get any glory that I imitated her. I got the glory. If you imitate Christ, who gets the glory? You do. And so doing, you get the credit. Even crucifixion. Have you ever tried to crucify yourself? It's hard. At least you can get your feet nailed down. You can hammer one end over there, and then what do you do with this one? You point to yourself and say, look what I've done. That's what it is. And the great message of this portion is that He called me by His gifts, grace, to reveal His Son in me. And then, after I understand and comprehend and appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ is in me permanently, He's taken up His residence in me. You don't need to ask the Lord to be with you. He's with you. And He's with me. So you don't have to ask the Lord to be with me either. Why is He in me? He's in me to use my body to do as He did. That He will surrender what I have. I will surrender to Him what I have. Suppose you're going to have some surgery. Your doctor comes in to see you pre-surgery, and hanging at his waist are his garden gloves. Old leather. Been laying out in the sun and in the rain for weeks. And he said, I'm ready to go. And he pulls out his gloves. What do you say? Let me out of here! Not me! You ain't working on me with those gloves. Right? So then he comes and he says, no, sir, I've got these rubber gloves. And I put them on. And they are so flexible. They are so available to my hand. that anything my fingers can do, they can do with that glove on. Does the glove get the glory? Or does the hand? We are in Christ is in us to reveal His Son in me. And of course, as we'll see, they're going to come back through me. My hands, yes, but they're His. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And He has taken up His residence in you. You rent a car, how well do you take care of it? Sorry about that. But if it's your car, how well do you take care of that? You take care of your car better than the rental car because you're in the car and it's yours. He does the same for us. He is resident in us. And so we surrender and say, Lord, I'm yours. My hands are yours. My feet are yours. My heart is yours. Love these people through me, even the unloving ones, love them. So I do what Jesus did. Not externally, but internally. I say what Jesus says. I love as Jesus loved. I walk as Jesus walked. I serve as Jesus served. I give as Jesus gave. Maybe, with some one exception, I may die as Jesus died. I don't die for other people's sin, but I might die in my service. In the same way that He did. To reveal His Son in me. That is the overwhelming reason for you saving me. And Paul says it here in the book. In the book to the Galatians who wanted to be saved by grace and kept by law. They wanted to be saved by what they believed, but they wanted to do. In order to be sanctified. So when I ask the question, the purpose of salvation, the cause of Christ is in front of me. Christ's likeness. The greatest commendation you can have is for somebody to say, you remind me of Christ. Nothing be greater. Somebody says, you remind me of Cousin. I understand that. That's just like I know him. The choosing Christ has done for me. He chose to indwell me rather than walk beside me. He shall be with you and shall be in you. The calling Christ has set before me, that's Christ's likeness. The curriculum Christ has given me. Does a man have the same curriculum as he? How can I be like Christ if I don't have the same curriculum? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What about you? How many of you know Don and Caroline Naismith? You know what they've been through? College, spiritual people. Sometimes an elderly, something wrong in where are you, Charlotte? 1 week ago, early this morning, somebody broke into their house up in Southern Pines, beat them almost to death. We saw them a couple of days ago. Amazing how much the body was healed in a week. Why? He said, why? And then he said, that God might be glorified in us. That God might be glorified in us. Not by us, but in us. That's what it is. How sad. The couple who have given themselves, I don't know about life, but they're good friends of ours, want to see people saved, want to see Christ glorified. This military man broke into the house, grabbed a sconce off the wall and beat them over the head. It was out of it for an hour. If it wasn't for some of his clients in the B&B that dragged this big guy, 6 foot something or other, off down, he would have been dead. That God might be glorified in us. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to you again for the amazing privilege that you've given to us of being your children. Because we are your children, you belong to us, we belong to you. But we have had an infusion of your life in us through Jesus Christ. And so we have been reminded that Christ might be magnified in my body, by life or by death. That the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. What a calling. It would be nice if we didn't have this calling. And you saved us and we didn't have to do anything or be anything. And you took us through. But you have reserved for us that opportunity to realize and reflect and radiate to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive in us. Thank you for ministering to us as you said you would do. Through your word and by your spirit, we want to be obedient to your commands. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.